And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right, just covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one right here, y'all, I'm talking about it. It's the one I'm in. It's Alabama. This show goes like way down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville and Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. So I'm going to do this first section, do it for the kids, and coming up top of the hour, in conjunction with this, Jared Hudson, former Navy SEAL who now runs Covenant Rescue Group, which intervenes in sex trafficking and human trafficking issues and trains police forces and helps them with their stings and all that kind of stuff. I mean, they're in the mix is what I'm saying. They're the action guys. He's going to be on to help us with this conversation and talk about some very recent stings he's been a part of right here in Alabama. And it's amazing to think, okay, you watch the news and you get the sense that that's that thing that's out there, right? That's that thing that's somewhere else. No, it's right here. It's in our backyard. I mean, like, for instance, I-20 cutting right through the middle of Alabama, I-20 coming across the state from east to west, west to east, is literally considered to be the human trafficking corridor of the South, going from Atlanta to Texas. Isaiah 1:17 says, "Learn to do right, seek justice, defend the oppressed, take up the cause of the fatherless, and plead the case of the widow." Take up the cause of the fatherless. So let's break this down into three categories. If I had to say there's three, I mean, I could find all kinds of ways that we're going to talk about what current liberal progressive culture tries to do to kids, but let's take three. I'm going to call them this way: transgenderism, abandonment, and sex trafficking. Transgenderism, abandonment, sex trafficking. Can we have an honest conversation about this? So yesterday at the Supreme Court was a circus. It was a sideshow. It was like something out of a carnival. I don't know if you guys have seen him or not. Damn, I didn't say that. Did I say that? Her. I don't know if she's.
To be fair, appearance-wise, he does a good job of... I did it too. She does a good job of fooling you until you hear the voice.
I know, but sort of. But yeah. You and I both, it caught our attention looking up on the screen the other day. We're like, something doesn't look right.
Mm-hmm.
And that's we were... It was
muted. Like, you said she looks like a cartoon character.
Yep. Well, now we know why.
Yeah.
So, formerly known as Kate Strangio... now going by the name Chase Strangio, is the first ever transgender lawyer to argue before the U.S. Supreme Court. The case is called U.S. v. Skirmetti, Skirmetti being the Attorney General of the state of Tennessee. So Attorney General Skirmetti is being sued by the federal government. Okay, wait a minute. It's not just the ACLU. Oh, no. Old Chase Strangio. By the way, the name Strangio, it sounds like he's trying to be like, you know, Mysterio or something, the Strangio, but it's strange, all right. But Chase Strangio works for the ACLU. But the case is actually the U.S. government under the Biden administration suing the state of Tennessee because the state of Tennessee did exactly what Alabama did, which was pass a ban on so-called gender-affirming care for minors. So there were several states, Alabama being one, whose causes in that regard could have been taken up to the Supreme Court. Tennessee's is the one that was chosen. This could set the precedent for all of them. There's 26 states right now, like Alabama and Tennessee, that have put in place laws to protect minors from these, you know, dangerous transition drugs, hormone therapies, and even surgeries that alter them for life. One of the most dangerous of these activists, here's a piece I pulled off of WokeSpy, is this Chase Strangio, who looks like a slight, thin woman who's taken hormones in an effort to try and appear to be a man, with a little wispy mustache and a voice that just does not work. So the ACLU, which, by the way, used to be like a free speech organization, they are defending abuse against children by arguing that the state of Tennessee is violating the constitutional rights of children by not allowing this kind of dangerous therapy or surgery on kids. So I'm going to play this audio clip. I'm going to call for audio one, all right? Audio one is this Chase Strangio. When you hear the voice, just understand that what you're hearing is a woman who has taken a lot of hormones to try and be a man, and you'll hear the voice and understand what I'm saying. But in this clip, what you're going to hear is Chase Strangio arguing that the Supreme Court needs to understand that even two-year-olds sometimes know they're transgender. Play it.
Who are sensitive and supportive of trans kids, obviously don't want suicidal ideation, etc., but wonder if there is enough data as of now to prove that it is beneficial to allow these sort of treatments before the age of 18.
So I would say three things. And the first is we have decades of both clinical experience and research data showing that this is medical treatment that provides critical benefits to adolescents who need it. And so this is not new. This is not new medication. And so we have that information. We have long-term studies that track people for 5-6 years. The Supreme Court this week heard arguments in an FDA case in which the FDA referred to long-term as being 6 months of follow-up. Here we have years of a follow-up. And so that's the first thing. And then the second thing I would say is nobody has to provide this medication to adolescents. These are not doctors being forced to provide this medication. These are doctors who are wanting to treat their patients in the best way that they know how based on the best available evidence to us. And these are young people who may have known since they were 2 years old exactly who they are, who suffered for 6-7 years before they had any relief. And what's happening here, it's not the kids who are consenting to this treatment, it's the parents who are consenting to the treatment. And as a parent, I would say, when our children are suffering, we are suffering. And these are parents who love their children, who are listening to the advice of their doctors, of the mainstream medical community, and doing what's right for their kids, and the state of Tennessee has displaced their judgment.
Right, stop right there. That's a sick set of circumstances right there. That's the most first world obnoxious batch of jackassery I have ever seen. You've got what is obviously a woman pretending to be a man being interviewed by CNN about the argument of whether or not two-year-olds know they're transgender and therefore need surgeries or hormones. And oh, by the way, it's the parents that will sign them up for it. That's what she said. You know what? And maybe those parents should be held to account for child abuse.
That's what I was going to say. Like, so the kids need protection is what I'm hearing.
That's what I'm hearing.
From the mentally ill parents who are wanting to take part in this.
Listen, my youngest grandchild is two. Two-year-olds don't know which shoe goes on which foot. Two-year-olds don't know yet how to dress themselves. Two-year-olds are being potty trained. Two-year-olds don't know anything about transgenderism. That's the most asinine thing I've ever heard anybody utter. And it said it with a straight face. It said it before the Supreme Court. So yesterday, it went before the Supreme Court, Chase Strangio. And Justice Samuel Alito, there were some pretty interesting exchanges. And I've got a piece we're going to play from Matt Walsh, who was outside the Supreme Court. Matt Walsh has been the champion. Matt Walsh is from Daily Wire, is one of the reasons why Tennessee got this law passed, because that's where they're based. Daily Wire is based out of Nashville. He's the one who exposed Vanderbilt was doing these surgeries on kids. It just incensed the legislature when they learned that under their watch, Vanderbilt had been doing these things, and the Tennessee legislature responded to Matt Walsh's expose by basically passing this law. So Matt Walsh was on the steps of the Supreme Court, and I'm going to call for that clip here in just a minute, man. But listen to this. There was a moment in the arguments. So Chase Strangio is arguing before the appellate court, the Supreme Court, and makes the statement, said, I think the record shows, basically was arguing that transgender is immutable. And being immutable means that it is then protected by anti-discrimination laws. So they're likening this to race-based discrimination. They're likening it to gender discrimination. They're saying that transgenderism is immutable. So bottom line is, lawyer Phil talking here for a minute. Under the law, immutability would refer to a characteristic that is considered to be unchangeable. So fundamental to a person's identity that it can't be changed. And you use that in anti-discrimination laws. So Chase Strangio says before the court that this is immutable. Here's what she said. I think the record shows that the discordance between a person's birth, sex, and gender identity has a strong biological basis and would satisfy an immutability test. To which Justice Alito at one point asked, isn't it true that there are those who detransition after believing they're transgender and revert back to their biological sex? To which Trey Strangio said, well, I would believe that would be true. And then Judge Alito said, well, then there's no immutability. If you can change it back, then it was never immutable to begin with. I think that one exchange unhinged the entire argument, in my opinion. But justices now have to decide whether barring kids from having medically recommended health care qualifies as an unconstitutional sex discrimination under the 14th Amendment's Equal Protection Clause. That's what I'm reading here off of a Yahoo.com news article about yesterday's arguments. So the bottom line is the ACLU and the Biden administration, let that sink in. Your U.S. government has argued that Tennessee should not be allowed to do this because it's unconstitutional and because transgenderism is immutable. They can't help it. It's just what they are. But they can revert back, so it must not be immutable. Anyway, the bottom line is this. Matt Walsh went to the steps of the Supreme Court yesterday in the aftermath. The entire time he's speaking, transgender activists are heckling and yelling in the background. So what I'm about to play for you might be kind of hard to go with on radio. But Matt Walsh, who has been a champion for this, I need to get him on a podcast one time. Matt Walsh, who's been a champion on this issue, went to bat and he said, we're not done. Play clip two.
I actually agree with the premise, sort of. This case is about the rights of children. It's about the right of a child to be protected from the gender butchers. That's what it's about. Children have the constitutional right, the human right, the God-given right to live and grow and learn about themselves and the world without being indoctrinated and exploited by people who reject the fundamental realities of existence. Children have a right to go through phases, to have moments of confusion and discomfort in their own bodies, just like every generation of children before them, without that confusion being seized upon as a pretense to do irreparable harm to their bodies. So to the trans activists over there claiming this is all about the rights of children, I say again, yes, you're right, it is. They have a right to be protected from you. Children have a right to be protected from all of those people over there who want to harm them and damage them and destroy them. And they will be. They are going to lose. They are losing right now. We are not going to let them harm our children.
What an outstanding clip. And on that, we're going to take a break. But listen, do it for the kids. That's the name of this dipper. And the whole first section there was on the transgender agenda. They don't want their agenda. They don't want equality. They just want your kids. We'll come back and talk about another piece of this, the abandonment of kids at the southern border. Holy cow. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just making common sense like a superpower. So I'm in this section right now calling Do It For The Kids. Coming up top of the hour, we'll come back for the next break, and we have a former Navy SEAL and now owner-operator of the Covenant Rescue Group is going to be on with us talking about human trafficking issues and some of the most recent stings he's been a part of right here in Alabama. But before I do that, though, I broke this whole thing about doing it for the kids into three problem areas that I think are just they're endemic right now. They are something that is so prolific that you look at it and I think future generations are going to look back on us and go, what were y'all doing back then? What were you thinking about? The first one we just covered was the transgender agenda as to kids, like this knucklehead who's obviously got mental health issues of her own, who believes she's a man, arguing for the idea that two-year-olds know whether they're transgender and they deserve to have gender-affirming care. I mean, my God. Before the Supreme Court of the United States, of all places. But how about this one? How about abandonment? What am I talking about? Abandonment on the border. What about abandonment on the border? I look at that and go, what the heck, man? So we've got a situation right now where on our southern border, and by the way, you know what? Once they cross the border, unaccompanied, As much as I hate to say it, because you think, who in God's name sent a five-year-old by themselves to the southern border to cross the Rio Grande to America with a phone number written on their arm and just hope for the best? Who did that? Okay, I can't help that. That happened on the other side of the border. But once they got to our side of the border, they became our duty, our responsibility. How about this? Representative Michael Cloud, Republican of Texas, is demanding a response from the Immigration and Customs Enforcement regarding a report that nearly 300,000 migrant children have disappeared from tracking. Think of the staggering levels of that number. 300,000. That is bigger, y'all, that is bigger than Huntsville and most of Birmingham together, the entire population. We're talking, this is huge. So a recent report from the Department of Homeland Security's Office of Inspector General found that 300,000 migrant children under the care of the Office of Refugee Resettlement effectively disappeared from the official radar. The letter from the representative said, the Biden-Harris administration's failure to track thousands of vulnerable migrant children is unacceptable. Almost 300,000 children have essentially vanished under their watch, putting them at serious risk of trafficking and exploitation. This administration is sitting by and not doing nearly enough to get answers and fix this crisis. We had a whistleblower not long ago. Her name was Tara Rodas, and she worked with the Department of Health and Human Services in the Biden administration. She's a whistleblower who came forward and said, she was put in the position of having to hand over children to so-called sponsors, believing they were not even family members, opening up the possibility of abuse. She said she handed, and by the way, I look at it and go, why'd you do it then? But at least she's a whistleblower now. She said, in her words, quote, she handed children over to traffickers, really? Members of transnational criminal organizations, bad actors, bad, bad people, she said. She also said the Biden administration was responsible for stripping away the vetting process. What does that mean? What it means is the Biden administration removed the standards of care. There's not a single member of the Biden family that would ever allow their child to be treated like this. But once they crossed our border, y'all, I'll be honest, at that point, they did become our responsibility. The adults, I get it. You can send them on their way. You can send them back home. You can put them in jail. You can do the things. But a minor child? I mean, like literally, when they call them tender age minors. When a tender age minor comes across the border by themselves and says, I was sent here, and they've got a phone number. And this is the way they do it. A phone number literally written on the arm with indelible ink. And you just call the number and they go, yeah, I'll be there to pick them up or put them on a bus. And they're sending busloads of kids around the nation. Tell me that's not a heinous, heinous way of putting kids at risk. 300,000 of them. And I'm going to tell you, there's a few things that I really do believe that the Biden administration needs to be, you know, sued for, incarcerated for, something. One of them is for the endangerment of 300,000 minor children, some of whom are probably okay, a lot of whom we have no idea. And the question is, where are they now? Coming up next, we're going to talk to Jared Hudson, former Navy SEAL, who works with Covenant Rescue Group in human trafficking issues. They've done several stings right here in Alabama in recent weeks. We'll talk about it. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We will be right back. Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And, oh, yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, we're in number one of the Triple Dipper for the day. I'm calling it Doing It for the Kids. So I told you I was going to break us into three categories of this. Rescuing our kids from the agenda of transgenderism. Rescuing our kids from the level of callous abandonment and indifference that we're seeing in the Biden administration as they've lost track of 300,000 minor children at the southern border. And now I want to flip the script and go to a different category of this. The idea of sex trafficking, human trafficking, listen, it is prolific and it is not out there. It is right here in your backyard. And there's somebody who knows that better than any of us. That's Jared Hudson. Jared Hudson been on the show multiple times. He's a business owner, a law enforcement officer, a former Navy SEAL. He's a community leader. He's the founder and current CEO of Covenant Rescue Group, which is a nonprofit that combats human trafficking. And he's also the newest content generator for Right Side Media with his Liberty Minute that we just posted for the first time today. Jared Hudson on the phone right now. How you doing, Frogman?
Doing good, brother. How you doing?
I'm good. I'm good. Hey, man, we're excited to have you on the Right Side team, by the way.
Hey, man, I'm excited to be there. Hopefully people resonate with what we're putting out. So I appreciate you bringing me on.
Well, thank you for being a part of it, and thank you for what you do in the broad sense and also specifically on human trafficking. So let me ask you, I got three stories sitting in front of me. Montgomery County, Autauga County, Limestone County, all within the last few months. You've been sort of assisting in working with sting operations, but tell the folks what Covenant Rescue Group is first, and let's get into those stings.
Yeah, so long story short, Covenant Rescue Group is a nonprofit organization that my wife and I started in 2018, got our 501c3 status 2019, and we go around and train local law enforcement agencies all over the nation on how to best make a case in their state against people who are buying or selling kids for sex. So Limestone County, we actually worked with them back in February of this last year, so February 2024, we worked with them, made about 10 arrests with them in Limestone County, put them through the training, set it up, and then the recent operation that you saw was them doing what we taught them on their own. So we're not there anymore. Our goal is to work ourselves out of a job.
Yeah.
So there's 3,100 sheriff's offices across the nation, plus or minus 10%. We'll never be able to get to all of those. But if you want to impact human trafficking in the appropriate way, in the proper way, you've got to work with the local municipalities building solid state cases at the micro level. You've got to get at the level of where the people in that community are. So Limestone County did it on their own recently. So all the training we put them through, we stayed in comms with them, and they had a very successful operation. Montgomery County, we did a 40-hour sex trafficking operations program that's training we put on for agencies from all over the nation. Montgomery hosted it, and then at the end of the week, they did an operation. We did one with them last year where they arrested 15, I believe.
Yeah.
And we just came in with a couple of our guys and audited their operation. They said, hey, we want y'all to sit and watch and see what we do. They set it up from start to finish. We didn't have to do anything because we'd already taught them the previous year, last December. And, man, Montgomery County, they did a phenomenal job with how they set up the operation, everything that we had given them from the previous year. They took it, they honed it, and we were able just to sit in and basically high-five them and say, great job. That's exactly what we want to do, guys. Autauga County had reached out. Autauga County has been a great sheriff's office to work with, unbelievably professional. Prattville PD, unbelievably professional. The prosecutor's office there, those guys were great. They hit us up and said, guys, we want to get into this game. Can you come in? And we went in and provided training for them, set up an operation for them, and we act as advisors overseeing the operation. The example I'd use, you'd be familiar with it, obviously, with your background as a ranger, but it's very much like ground branch within the agency. It's an advisory role, a combat advisor type role. So in the special operations community where I come from, we go overseas, oversee what the foreign forces are doing to take the fight to the enemy. That's what we're doing with these local law enforcement agencies. We bring in a team, we teach them how to do it, then we oversee a live operation, kind of on-the-job training. And when the agencies see it works, they want to go out and do it on their own. So those are the three that you talked about recently. I think totaling from August till then, I think it was probably about 50 arrests in that area. Got a state trooper out of it.
Yeah.
Got a couple people that have previous rape charges, like they've raped kids, they've sold kids. I mean, it's, you always catch really bad guys. So
you know,
that's what we want to do.
I tell you what, that's God's work right there. And you and I were sort of half joking, half not joking this morning that some of what you see out there makes vigilantism look good, but this is the way we got to do it. You got to build the case, and you got to go through the process, and you got to use the rule of law. But the stuff see
100%, because the one thing, I mean, like, when you look at what we've done overseas, and I joke about this, but I'm partly not joking, you know, I've killed people for less. That's the hard part. When you go overseas and you work on behalf of the, you know, political leanings of the government, I go over and shoot somebody on behalf of the U.S. government for a lot less than what these dirtbags that are showing up to buy or sell kids are doing. And so, it would be great if we could just chat them in, shoot them in the face, hit them in the face with an axe, and walk away, right? But you can't do that in the United States of America. So the only thing you can do is build a solid felony prosecutable case that the prosecutor can then take and get this guy put away and put in jail. The statistic I'll give you is for every guy showing up for a girl, we'll just, because most of our demographic is men, right? So for every guy showing up for a girl, it's 50 victims plus or minus 10% until he's prosecuted, not until he's arrested. Anybody can snatch a dude. That's easy. Until they're prosecuted. And then for a guy showing up for a male-male or the homosexual profiles, every guy showing up for a boy, it's 150 victims until they're prosecuted.
Oh, my God.
And you can find that on American Psychiatric Association, and the DOJ did a study about 12 years ago, and they both ran those numbers, and they both came out with the same 50 and 150. So we don't know if when we catch this guy, if it would have been their first victim, 20th victim, or 40th victim, or 140th victim. All we know is that when we catch them, our goal is a successful prosecution based on those local statutes and those local courts. And, you know, that's what you have to do, because you can't make them report to the parking lot for a firing squad.
No, so yeah, no, really. So that would save us so much time and effort. But let me ask you this. Do you think what you are seeing and interdicting and assisting to train law enforcement on, is there more of it today, or are we just able to find them today? I mean, where are we looking at? Is there an epidemic that is grown in recent years, or is this that we've just discovered ways to uncover it in recent years?
I would say that we've discovered ways to uncover it in recent years. I would say the pornography epidemic that we've seen just because of technology, you've probably seen an increase in the leanings toward children possibly, but there's also, you know, I believe the scriptural principle, I believe it's Ecclesiastes chapter 7 that says there's nothing new under the sun.
Right.
This is still a sin-fallen world. We're sinful people. We're going to do sinful, terrible things, and until Jesus returns, we're going to see these sort of things happen and take place. I just believe with the porn epidemic, because of technology and the technology that we have, it might not be more prominent or be happening more. It just is a bigger sphere that it impacts. And by that, I mean, like, look at P. Diddy, that whole thing, right? Look
right.
at the Diddy case.
Right.
It wasn't that he was impacting people all over the world. He just had a massive sphere of influence, and he was impacting the people in that sphere of influence. It's the same thing for the dad that was raping his 16-year-old daughter here in Jefferson County that was just arrested recently. He was impacting the one young lady in his sphere of influence. That guy was the same age as me. He's like 40 years old, right? He was impacting that young lady in his sphere of influence. That's all he had. So I think that we're just able to find it more because of technology, but I do believe the porn epidemic that we're seeing is adding more to the people targeting kids,
yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, it does make sense. Unfortunately, it makes sense. And I think that the technology we have has also given perps new ways to find kids and target them from afar, whereas I think there might have been times in the past with lack of technology when someone had to be in close proximity to the child. Now they can reach them from afar and arrange to meet them somewhere, and that's an amazing overcoming that as a parent or as a guardian, having to watch everything that kids see online and what's being communicated, even through video games, people are communicating to kids.
Yeah,
it's unreal.
And we see guys targeting kids on the games, even like, you know, the Roblox or something is one we've seen recently. I would say this: when you give your kid access to the internet or a 5G network or a 3G network or whatever, you give the world access to your kid and your kid access to the world. So the days of a free candy van showing up and talking your kid into the free candy van and taking them away are over. They will literally target your kid's mind via their digital footprint, and they will talk your kid right out of your house. And that's what we see. We see it happen every day. I get a call about a kid who's being sextorted. We call it sextortion. Or we see a kid that's targeted and their mind has been stolen.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's hard to get that child's mind back. So that's what we see just because of the digital fingerprint that we all have now.
Just makes you want to go live off the grid with your kids. You know what I'm saying? But the world that we're in, you know, posturing ourselves to be the defenders of our household has got more facets on it now than it used to. But it's just what we got to do. I mean, it's absolutely what we got to do. Hey, listen, man, let me ask you this. We got about a minute and a half left before we have to go, and I really appreciate your time. Tell us about the Liberty Minute podcast, what we got going on there. What's your goal with the Liberty Minute?
Yeah, Yeah, so my goal for the first, at least the first 10 episodes we're going to launch, obviously it's pretty. It's not very long. It's only 10 to 20 minutes. I think I'm averaging about 15 to 20 minutes per episode. Call it the Liberty Minute, so we don't want it to take forever. And it's essentially what I'm doing on these first ones is I'm going through the Bill of Rights, because one thing that I've learned that most of us don't understand of Americans as Americans is our constitutional rights that exist by God. It's not that the Bill of Rights outline rights, like say, hey, the government's giving you these rights. No, it's just telling the government what they can't do, what they can't take away, because these are rights that we already have by God. Our forefathers just saw fit to write them down. And laying those out there in a way that's really easy in layman's terms to understand, as so that we know, hey, these are the rights that I have as an American citizen by the hand of God, and using that to govern how we respond to our government. Because on the other side of it, the government can take those rights away if we try to take those rights from other people away. Does that make sense? We break the law, we lose those rights. Because we didn't uphold our responsibility as a good citizen. So talking about it on both sides and what that means, that's what we're going to do for the next, 10 episodes, basically.
Man, I appreciate you. I appreciate your stance. I appreciate your heart. And brother, thanks for the work you do. And we'll have you back on soon. And you are part of the Right Side family.
Thank you, brother. Good talking to you. Y'all have a Merry Christmas. If I don't talk to you before then, and God bless.
All right, man. We'll talk to you soon. All right, that was Jared Hudson, founder of the Covenant Rescue Group, former Navy SEAL, literally, who has been doing work all over the nation with Covenant Rescue, training law enforcement, helping them with their stings, and then providing the assistance they need. And what, I mean, I'm just telling you right there, just in the last 3, 4, 5 months, there have been 20, 30 arrests because of Covenant Rescue Group's work with law enforcement right here in Alabama, just right here in Alabama. All right, y'all, we got more. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.